Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 9th of March, recording at 7:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Recording early today because I've got a concert tonight. Okay, so this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook at the various asset classes, but as I usually do, I'll first have just a very quick review of the week. And global stock markets reached lows after 5 days of selling on Monday and have subsequently rallied. Some of the rallies are modest and some are really quite strong. And in government bonds, we had a generally firm tone up until this week, and as stock markets steadied, the government bonds began to weaken a little bit. And in currencies, the US dollar has been firm, and that's continued here today. And in crude oil, now crude oil had rallied quite well, got up to 62.30, I think, yesterday, having touched or just very briefly edged under 60 on Monday. It's off today, down 74 cents as I speak at 60.90. And the precious metals had a good bounce, starting, I believe, off Monday's lows and continuing on Tuesday and through the week. They followed on in that vein here this morning, but have run into profit-taking this afternoon. And the metals, industrial metals, which have been quite strong this week, are mostly experiencing a little bit of profit-taking today, as are a number of the soft commodities, but nothing big, all small stuff. And actually, cocoa, London cocoa, I notice the May contract, which has been testing psychological resistance in a prior peak at 1,000, could not close up above that level, but it was still up 3 at 999. Okay, so what's going on here? First, stock markets. This has been a fascinating 2 weeks. And we certainly saw some big downward dynamics last week, which, as I said, halted all the short to medium term upward trends in their tracks. And that remains the case today, except for a few markets around the world which really didn't blink. There aren't that many of them, but Vietnam didn't blink, amazingly, and I think possibly one or two of the Eastern European markets just kept pushing higher, and some of those very bombed out Middle Eastern markets, which have been showing evidence of a major bottom having been established a couple of months ago. Saudi Arabia is one, the UAE another. They haven't blinked in here during this correction, just about everywhere else. And the corrections, not surprisingly, occurred where people had the biggest positions. Okay, I'm talking about global investors now with disposable income, although China's A-share correction was a largely made-in-China event, as I said before. Now, I have said that this is going to be either a bigger reaction than we had seen previously, in line with my hypothesis really since December, that because markets were pushing up a little bit too much, pulling a little bit too far away from the 200-day moving averages, that we were going to see a period where they would be more susceptible to somewhat bigger reactions and longer ranging consolidation phases. Now, that's the type of environment that we have been, but so powerful were last week's downward dynamics that they clearly raised the question of, were we going into a medium-term correction, despite that commencing in a period that seasonally is, usually bullish. I know a correction can start at any time, but more importantly than the seasonal factors, I think that the catalysts for this, or I should put it this way, the background fundamental factors, and I would argue technical factors, did not argue for a really significant correction at this time. And a significant correction would be what we saw last May and June, significant medium-term correction. Now, this is going to be a tricky period in here to analyze. There's a great deal of uncertainty. Investors are quite nervous. You've seen some people saying, no doubt with their fingers crossed, well, it's all fine and it's over and just a buying opportunity. And other people, the bears, I think, have been particularly vociferous. They certainly were last week, saying this is the great unwinding and things of that sort, and that the U.S. is going straight into recession. Well, I maintain that stock markets are a lousy economic indicator. The stock market is, after all, certainly in the short term to medium term, it's a mob, a highly emotional, manic, depressive mob, as I've said so many times in the past. And although that mob consists of lovely, sensible, intelligent people such as yourselves, that when we all meet in the marketplace, we, to survive, we have to be very respectful of what the mob is doing and try to turn with the front of that mob or herd rather than be whipsawed by the sharp fluctuations at the tail end of these various moves. Now, my best guess, and it's nothing more than that, it can't be anything more than that, and I've said this is a breaking situation in the news jargon and we need to update virtually on a daily basis, but my best guess is that it's about 60-40 in favor of this being no more than a bigger and longer reaction, that's the 60% possibility. The 40% possibility is that no, we're going to come back down and go through the lows that we saw on Monday and see a medium-term correction, which would certainly hold up the overall upward trends, and perhaps for as long as we saw following the May-June sell-off last year. Where I come down fairly strongly here, not fairly strongly, where I'll come down strongly here, is I do not feel that this is in any way a bear market beginning to unfold. I just don't think that we have the factors. Least of all, we don't have the type of central bank activity at this stage that would suggest a bear market. And I don't think that the risks indicate that either. And I think all the subprime lending concerns that we've seen, well, come on, that's been in the markets for quite a long time. And that is, I think, fairly substantially discounted. Now, maybe if the rest of the world were in a difficult economic environment, that the U.S. could slide into recession. But with the rest of the world, really, from north of the American border to Europe to all of Greater Asia, really doing quite well, we really are not going to see, well, I'll put it this way, that is a major, major factor to cushion recession risk in the United States for this year and beyond. So I don't see the sort of fundamental deterioration. I have said to watch policy or monitor policy quite closely. We've heard cooing from central bankers and monetary officials from really Beijing to Washington, D.C., and that's really quite a favorable background here overall. So again, I cannot see the bear market evolving. I think for that to take place, it would require some sort of exogenous shock, to present itself, and I'm not in the business of predicting those, and it would have to be a pretty horrendous one overall. So I see us positioned somewhere between this reaction, that's the 60% bet that I see, or the bigger correction, which is the 40% possibility at this stage. Now, as Owen has said, and as I have said, we won't know for sure until we see the first real correction to this stock market rally that commenced on Tuesday. Now, the longer that's delayed, the more it will favor the bigger reaction rather than medium-term correction hypothesis. And that reaction doesn't need to test the lows. The best bull case would be that markets push higher, not only this week, but next as they have, but next week as well, and beyond, and then get up and perhaps test the highs, and then back off and find support in most instances comfortably above the lows that we saw on Monday. Now, on that type of environment, that would certainly suggest that well, we would, that would confirm the bigger reaction hypothesis once markets pushed back up and took out their rally highs prior to that reaction. What we will see, and now just take the opposite extreme, and the opposite extreme would be markets run into trouble next week and go down and take out their lows for more than a day or two. I'm talking about this Monday's lows. But the weaker scenario is they go down, take out those lows next week, and carry on down. Now, I think that's not likely, as I've already said, and I suspect that we won't get either extreme. I think we'll probably get something that's a little bit more messy because people are nervous. There are stale bulls who want to sell overhead, but we also know that there are some people who have raised cash who are keen to buy back at a somewhat lower level, which will lend a bit of support in here. So my hunch is that the rally carries into next week, but then we get some more ranging activity, and we might get a number of weeks and possibly even a few months of ranging activity. In my opinion, that would be quite a favorable outcome overall. I think it's also the most likely outcome overall, and that would give us the additional mean reversion, largely in the form of sideways trading, taking indices that, excuse me, have not already moved back to their 200-day moving average, best seen on the weekly charts. It would allow the other markets that are a bit more extended to move sideways laterally while those moving averages continue to rise, and the sideways activity would enable those markets to consolidate those overbought conditions. And in some instances, if it occurred over a period of months, it would also allow the fundamentals to pick up in line with that activity. So that's my view on stock markets overall, and as I've said before, I do expect stock markets to close out the year higher than they are today and higher than they were on the 27th of February when so many uptrends ran into the wall at the end of that cul-de-sac. Remember that comment of mine, every great uptrend eventually waltzes into a cul-de-sac. Okay. So what should one do, and how should one play it? Well, I have retained all of my investment positions here. Markets haven't come down enough to make me feel that I had the steal of the year here, opportunity to increase those positions. So I'm content just to sit as I am overall. But I have put some money back into the markets, and in terms of my Nikkei longs, and also in terms of precious metals. So I have increased my leverage here somewhat, also including some soft commodities. Now, moving on to the government bonds. I don't like this sector, although I did allow a JGB, March JGB short position to stay expired for a while, but I could justify coming in, I think, and backing my view that stock markets are not going to unravel, beg your pardon, that they are not going to unravel, and therefore I could probably justify shorting some of these long-dated government bond futures. I may actually do that, although I won't do it heavily. In here, I'm not going to do anything heavily from a leverage standpoint during a period of uncertainty where we're likely to see some choppy action where the calls are a bit more tricky. It's far easier to monitor an ongoing consistent upward trend, as we had from September really right up to the 27th of February in most instances. It's far easier to do that than to deal with the type of environment that we are in right now and likely to see continue for a while. The current environment is obviously marked by greater uncertainty. So I'm not going to have any really big bets relative to what I had earlier on this year, and of course last year and in earlier years from time to time. And as far as the precious metals are concerned, I remain extremely bullish of this sector overall. It is well underpinned following this correction. I would say particularly silver, which had the biggest reaction overall. It's the high beta precious metal, as you know. Now, I said that these are down today. They've run into a headwind from another day's rally by the US dollar and also the weaker oil price. And maybe just some profit taking following a little bit of a bounce, although I doubt many people would have profits of the size worth taking. So it's mostly it's mostly I think just the strength of the dollar and also the weaker oil price that's weighing on them a little bit here today. But I feel that precious metals are really in an accumulation range. And so I have been doing a little bit of accumulation, but as I said a moment ago, I'm going to keep positions small relative to what I had previously. And I would probably do well to trade them a little bit more actively. I looked and didn't do anything when silver was up at 1320, for instance, on the May contract earlier today, and I now see it at 1292. So I bought a little more. It was a good opportunity also to lighten a little bit. As far as precious metals are concerned, I think the long-term drivers are going to be supply and elasticity and rising demand. I think the rising demand will come from both industrial demand, jewelry demand, and will also come from investment demand, of course, which will be extremely important for these markets. So I do look for good gains over the medium to longer term in the sector, and as I've already said, I think they're in an accumulation zone. Crude oil is quieter in here, as I mentioned today. The technical action, though, has been awfully good since we saw that low at 50. I maintain that that is an extremely important bottom, and the chart action looks constructive, as I've just said. It's being led by gasoline futures, and I think we're on our way back up. I think it'll probably be a gradual advance, certainly for a while yet, because there is spare supply around, although not as much as some people actually think, but there is the capacity to increase production, and any spike in price would soon invite expectations of an increase, and no doubt an increase if prices stayed high for very long. So I look for a moderate ranging advance, which is what I've called for all along, and that's what we have actually seen to date. But again, I'd repeat that we saw the bottom at 50 in my view, and I certainly don't see anything technically to change that outlook. And the long-term supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme, I think, is exceptionally bullish for the sector. As far as the soft commodities are concerned, I think that some of them have a lot of potential given the base formations that we see where markets are relatively cheap. And the ones that have seen some quite good gains here are not really providing, and I'm thinking now of grains and beans, but they are not really showing any technical action that would suggest that those moves are over, although they're in various consolidation phases. One of the best looking ones, I think, of the soft commodities, it's hard to pick and choose here because a number of them are interesting and I have a spread of them in my portfolio, but cotton is one of the laggards that I think could have a very, very good move at some point later this year. Now, I'll do the currencies. And I should mention the industrial metals. I think these are going to remain really very, very strong. They hardly blinked during the big sell-off that we saw last week. And although there was one headline, front page item on the Financial Times talking about a big shakeout in metals, well, to put that in, and I think that was just earlier this week, well, to put that in perspective, we have seen new highs by nickel, which was the one that was featured. So I think these are really quite bullish, and that despite the gains already seen, the demand, the industrial demand, plus the supply constraints will keep these prices firm. And the fact that they didn't come rattling down last week or this week really just shows us that it's not hedge funds who have been buying these things and have kept warehouse stockpiles low. It is the consumer demand, and I'm of course talking about the industrial consumers of these resources. So I think this is really quite a bullish picture, not only for the ability of these industrial metals to stay firmer for longer, and I wouldn't be surprised if they all moved above levels that we see today, but it is also a very bullish environment for the suppliers of those metals. Now, that was just starting to be reflected by stock markets once again in terms of the big giants like Rio and BHP before the stock market correction commenced, which pegged back those gains somewhat. But given any clear blue skies for global stock markets generally, I expect those shares to take off. And we'll see that this year. I feel quite strongly. Now, last but not least, the currencies. Here, this is a steady phase for the U.S. dollar in line with the general uncertainty regarding overall markets. The dollar does tend to steady during periods such as this. If we take a multi-year view, I think the dollar is going to go lower because of the fundamental factors that you are all well aware of. But I expect mostly ranging activity in the currency markets, as I've said on so many occasions here. I do not expect any big drama. Now, we had a little drama here in terms of yen strength last week, and that's pretty much petered out. The U.S. dollar is back up here to 118.26. I don't see the carry trade ending. I see people unwinding some carry trade positions, and then I see them reopening them again as confidence returns. I maintain, as I have for quite some time, that the yen will stay overall a generally weak currency, a generally undervalued currency for quite a long time. And the reasons for that, and I've written about this, so just including yesterday, I'll just be very brief. And Daka, the word the Japanese invented for living with a strong yen, which was a particularly large problem in the first half of the 1990s, the post-bubble period, for Japan. And therefore, there is a whole generation of officials, monetary officials in Japan, who, having been scarred by that experience, are determined not to let that happen again. There isn't going to be any inflation problem in Japan for a very long time, so they don't need to raise interest rates very much, and they do want to have the soft currency to give them the additional help that they require in terms of dealing in Asia's very, very competitive markets overall, the competitive environment for manufacturing I'm referring to mainly. So I think we're going to see Japanese interest rates stay low for a long time. Oh, sure, maybe we'll get another quarter point. Maybe we just might get another quarter point hike this year, but big deal. The interest rate differentials are still enormous, and I expect there to be plenty of liquidity sloshing around in Japan for a long time. The Japanese will, as I say, I think keep this currency generally soft for as long as they can, and they can exert a very big influence on that trend. Well, that's it. That's it for me for another week. So I am really looking forward to a relaxing weekend with lots of culture and family events, and a concert tonight, an opera tomorrow, then the rugby. That'll probably be a bloodbath at Twickenham, and other good events. And I hope you're having at least as much fun yourselves. All the best.